Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Daily Roto Hour here on Sports Grid. My name is Davis Maddock. I'm joined by Michael Leone from Daily Roto and Anthony Amico.
Hey, we got it.
We are here to, continue our off-season discussion as we work through the world with no sports. And we thought that we'd talk to you guys about something that is near and dear to our hearts, which is Dynasty Fantasy Football and the best way to set up a league. Because I imagine that a lot of you guys who are watching this show, if you're watching on Sports Grid, if you are listening to this podcast on the Sports Grid Fantasy Football podcast feed, you probably have a lot of time on your hands. You probably are sitting in your living room, in your couch, wherever, and you're just like, man, I am bored. I want to compete. I want to do something. And maybe the League of Legends DFS, maybe it's not scratching the itch that you want it to scratch. So the idea behind this show is we're going to talk to you about how to set up a Dynasty Fantasy League, Dynasty Fantasy Football League, rather, some of the ideal settings, and then probably talk through some player evaluations and maybe even discuss some of the trades that we've had in leagues that we have been in over the last few weeks, because Leone went on full life tilt. Amico, how you doing, buddy? Are you excited to get back in? You recently quit all of your leagues because you thought you were spending too much time. little did you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm obviously just a complete fish, and I've regretted every decision I've made in Dynasty in terms of leaving, but I'm hyped, dude. I mean, the fact that you said my name correctly twice now, that we're like, this is the longest streak ever, I'm ready to go.
That's like the natural way to say it. I don't get, like, how would you say Amico? Why would you say it
Amico,
that way?
Amico is like the phonetics, right? Like you look at it and it's A-M-I-C-O.
Yeah. No, tons of people do that the first time. It just like, only because I've worked with Davis for so long, like the fact that he does it, it like, it has like that little extra, you know.
it would be like
if people still called me Matek or David. Both of which tilt me to the absolute moon.
Or fantasy wonderkid.
Matak makes it sound like you're like an erector set to put together or something. I don't know. People call me Leon instead of Leone. That's pretty common, though. I could see that. It doesn't really tilt me too much. What tilts me is Davis and Drew's trade ethics in Dynasty Fantasy Football. But this is why you should do Dynasty Fantasy Football if you're bored. Because the values, people's valuation systems are just all over the map. There is no true consensus, which is pretty amazing. I mean, there's, you know, certain market value on stuff, but depending what the timeline is for your team to compete and how you value different things, I don't know. It could just swing so wildly. Like I've seen DeAndre Hopkins 30th in Dynasty rankings. I've seen him 8th in Dynasty rankings, you know, and there's no one in a redraft league that could be considered taking 8th that could also be considered, oh, maybe you should be taking 30th. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah, that is correct. That it just doesn't really happen. That, so I mean, one of the great things about Dynasty is kind of, as you're saying, you know, everyone is going to not only value players differently, but just kind of play the game in a slightly different way. And like, that's one of the cool things about startups is there'll be the people who are obviously trying to win right away. So like, you know, they're drafting old guys. They're just stacking old guys on old guys on old guys in the back half of the draft. Cause you will get in leagues where, like, I'm doing a startup right now on FFPC where I drafted Chris Carson in the 10th round, because the super likely outcome is that this is Chris Carson's last year of being fantasy relevant. There's a good chance that Rashad Penny overtakes him, that the Seahawks draft a running back, that Chris Carson's just not good. But for a team like I drafted, there were just a couple things that fell in my lap early on in the draft. Like Julio Jones fell to me with the last pick of the 5th round. So I was like, okay, I'm going to start trying to compete this year, yeah, because Julio's going to be good for probably 2 more years, but he's very unlikely to recoup that in a trade. So I just made the decision that I was going to try and draft a little bit more, thinking of competing in this year. And that, I mean, obviously that's a huge thing. Figuring out your strategy or changing your strategy in the middle of the draft. So Leone, how do you approach the startups that you've done most of the time?
So the leagues I like, and I think we're going to be constructing here, is a best ball league, because the idea is there's pockets of times throughout the year where you want it super involved and it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of intense trading around drafts in the startup itself, around the rookie draft. but you don't want it to be overly time consuming throughout the year in case you're doing regular leagues and whatnot. So best ball is the best way to do that. And also a slow draft for the startup. So there's, so you, and then you can allow lots of trading during the startup league itself. So I was in a league, you mentioned how you were going for it. I was in a league where a guy ended up with almost every pick in this year's rookie draft. It was a startup in 2019, and he just kept trading down and trading down. And it seemed insane, but depending on your league setup, you know, if you start a whole ton of guys sacrificing some studs up top and just getting a super usable deep roster and a ton of future assets is really interesting. And it's one of those like zig while everybody else is zags type of things where everyone was kind of, I wouldn't say full on going for it, but they're doing a pretty normal strategy. So this guy who sold off from the get go in the startup draft ended up with all these mega valuable assets. And it's just kind of fun that you can do these kind of all encompassing strategies that you don't really have the opportunity to do in redraft. So I think best ball you want it to be, and also a slow draft with trading for sure. And then Amico, I think we're going to go for some nuances, but like, I don't know how you feel about the rookies. If you'd rather have them be in the startup draft, not in the startup draft. I was considering having the rookie picks be in the startup draft, since we'll do this before the actual NFL draft. And then that way you still get to do the rookie draft too.
Yeah. I mean, anything to prolong the drafting, because that's clearly the best part for everyone. Definitely think that adds a layer of strategy than just having the players. Because, I mean, you can definitely take, like I think everyone here loves Cam Akers, but, like, if Cam Akers ends up on the Jaguars or something, like, we're going to hate it. So, like, if you take him in a startup now, there's a chance that in a month it's just a complete stone disaster and you spend...
That's the best, though. That's, like, so I am in I'm in a league where one of the wrinkles that we do is that the rookie draft is before the NFL draft, which... give some insane values, and then also like you'll lose your pick basically because the guy you thought was good is so bad. So the example is last year in this draft, Hakeem Butler went at the 105.
Oh my gosh.
So that's like, which at the time was reasonable. Like that's it's where he was like consensus ranked, and now he's useless. And that was a first round pick wasted. That was probably valued at a really high level, like, you know, when it, I can't remember if that pick had been traded or not.
I don't like it.
Well, of course Leone doesn't like it because he is team, you can't evaluate these players and randomness and everything.
I don't mind randomness. I just think the strategy is a bit more fun with trading. I think the trading of the picks becomes a bit more fun when there's a bit more optionality attached to the pick and a bit more certainty that you're going to do well. Whereas I feel like I'd be very, very hesitant to ever trade into the first round or trade up if the rookie draft was constructed that way, because I wouldn't want to take Hakeem Butler at the 105.
So that's like, that's the edge though, right?
See, as you can see, Leone, Davis is already looking to exploit everyone, and that's why
The way that I think about it is that it's gonna be better for people who are grinding prospects, like starting in January.
Yeah, so I don't do that. So I guess there's just bias on my end. I think it's a little bit more fun, but I guess the one aspect I'll say as far as fun, the way you do it is the actual NFL draft then becomes
is a double sweat.
A big sweat. So. I guess, so what do you guys think? So that's the first big decision in this league we're constructing then. Do we want the rookies in the startup draft, or do we want the rookie picks in the startup draft?
The picks actually are like another element of strategy. So like in my draft that I did where the rookie picks were involved in the startup, I didn't take any. I just took players because my thought was, yes, obviously that will, because I also knew that the draft was going to be taking place before the NFL draft. So I thought that the picks would go pretty early. The one mistake I made, so this was in 2019. So this was the Kyler Murray year, and it was a super flex league, which we'll talk about why super flex is best here in a little bit. But so Kyler Murray was obviously going to be that pick. He was going to go number one overall. He was going to go first overall in the rookie draft, and he didn't go. I believe that pick did not go until the fifth round of that startup. And I think if it had just been Kyler Murray, it would have been third, fourth round, because like Burrow in Superflex Dynasty startups this year is going pretty early.
That's nuts, because the pick's worth more than the player, I feel like, because you have the option to take the player or trade that pick into other things. So you would, but I understand there's like a mental disassociation there when you don't actually see the name. But so I suppose we could do both then, right? We could include the picks and not the rookies in the startup draft, and then still do the rookie draft before the NFL draft. We don't have to make that determination now. I guess we'll have to before we actually start the startup draft, though. So I think we've decided we're going to include the rookie picks. But we need to get some idea on scoring system and roster format, you know, to determine like how many rounds is this thing even going to be.
So there are basically two different ways you can go about this. Is you can go so deep that the waiver wire almost doesn't matter. Like the only thing left out there is like sixth wide receivers, backup tight ends, third string quarterbacks, right? So that's about 30 man rosters. Or you go so shallow that you have to grind the waiver wire, and that's like 19, 20 man rosters, something like that. Amico, which one do you prefer?
I like deeper. I like owning the super random, like the RotoViz guys. Like I like owning those guys, you know?
Yeah.
And you just never get
Scotty
that
Miller.
Deep. Yeah, dude, Scotty Miller.
Like, Scotty Miller. Yeah. Like I prefer that as well. Like I like to be able to have Tyrone Swope sitting there as my seventh tight end in case he has the sixth season breakout.
Well, dude, the best part about best ball is that like that guy catches one touchdown and he's in your lineup. Like you just feel
you're,
so
you're,
good.
You're using
it. So good.
Yeah.
I also think that helps with not making it overly burdensome throughout the year. You know, even the summer fabs that you're doing, even if you're doing best ball, no in-season management, it's going to be tough. People in July, like, well, this July might be different, but most Julys don't want to be grinding that fat, you know, that once a month fab period or however you end up doing waivers, which I guess we can talk about. So I think deeper as well. How deep do you want the starters, though? Because I feel like the league I started with you and Drew and Ricky and Pacheco that are in last year that Amico always hears us tilt about, I feel like we might start one or two too many players. But I don't know what your thoughts are. I think we start 11 guys and it's super flex, which gets really deep.
That's awesome. That's
you
awesome.
Think so?
More starting spots is always better. Yeah.
Well, I was thinking 10. Because then your roster's like 3x, like literally 3x the starting lineup. It's always about the math for me. So that's I just like having like more rosters.
Let's say so.
I'd rather 12 then.
Let's go 30 roster spots. We can work on the starters. Slow draft for sure. I'm trying to set this up with my fantasy league. It's not the most user friendly of sites, but it's the best in terms of set up the league however you want.
I think it's relatively user friendly once you've used it once. Like I've played in enough leagues that I don't get confused by it anymore. It's not the prettiest website that's ever existed, but it is very functional.
I get confused, but we can.
So this is a little bit of free advertising, but it's also honest.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, we use it for you would not be able to do what we're doing on any other site. So I love that. I just have a hard time sometimes. Yeah. But so as far as I guess before the number of starting spots, Davis, why don't you go into why it has to be super flex?
So it has to be super flex because there really is a whole other layer of strategy when you play in Superflex. When you're just playing in a dynasty league, 12 quarterbacks, it's like either you get Mahomes or Lamar, or you just do not care. Like you're taking Phillip Rivers, you're taking Ben Roethlisberger, you're grinding out Ryan Fitzpatrick, you're streaming quarterbacks. And I think that the fact that you can stream quarterbacks in that just really takes away the element of dynasty, because it's either like you own one of like four guys or what's the point? Like I don't even know if I play in any dynasty leagues that are not super flex. It doesn't even sound fun to me to play in one that isn't.
Yeah, I mean, it's the guy that touches the ball the most, and it like for it to be the player you sweat the least, like just it doesn't even really make sense, and it's less fun.
Yeah, it makes more players valuable, which it should be the point.
So I think it should be tight end premium as well. And there's different ways to do that. I'm in one league where you have to start two tight ends to make tight ends more valuable. I'm in another one where it's 1.5 PPR for tight ends and full for everyone else. I prefer the premium scoring versus forcing two tight ends. Where do you guys sit on that one?
I like both. I like tight end premium and start two with the option to start one or more in flex.
The option to start, but I don't like the minimum requirement of two as a way to boost the value.
Yeah, I mean, I think the premium scoring is better just because it keeps good players good and it doesn't make you, like, I don't know, like, I would just be on super tilt if it was like I was losing matches consistently because my second tight end was like garbage. And I don't know. I mean, I guess that's part of the strategy, but I would just rather like my lineup consist of more good players. That's why I would prefer the premium scoring and like basically mostly flex spots instead of having like strict roster construction.
Okay, so I'm in line with Amico. The one thing I would say about super flex, sometimes I feel like it jumps from one extreme to the other where quarterbacks don't mean anything to, oh my God, everyone just in a race to grab. They're so meaningful that in a way they're meaningless because everyone's just in a race to grab whatever quarterback they can. So someone suggested, and I think it was Peter Overset's friend, and I forgot his name on Twitter.
Pat Curran.
No, it wasn't Crane. It was one of the other guys that did the ship chasing with him. But he suggested super flex, but slightly deflated quarterback scoring, which I thought was
intriguing.
Oh, I
saw that. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I thought that was intriguing because then like you still want a lot of quarterbacks, but you're not like totally screwed if you don't have two starting quarterbacks. Like it's going to be an edge, but not.
You know who owns in that format? That would just become... You either you get a running quarterback or you don't care. So that would be Lamar, Dak, Josh Allen. Like that would be the running quarterback situation, and that would just really elevate things to the next
quarterback
level.
Quarterback rushing TDs like four too. If you wanted to, you could do it.
You could. That's a stupid rule. That just makes them worth less points than they actually get on the field. So whether or not your league should be super flex, I think all three of us are in favor of it being super flex, which I guess this is actually an important distinction. So super flex means you can use two quarterbacks. It does not mean that you have to use two quarterbacks. And this impacts scoring in a really interesting way because people treat the quarterback values and the trades like you have to start two quarterbacks. But actually, Leone, in these best ball leagues, quarterback scoring matters a little bit fractionally less because there are going to be players that outscore your quarterbacks at like a relatively decent clip.
Yeah, but then this is where like it's all dynamic. When you throw in the fact that you're starting 10 or 11 guys, then all of a sudden, generally, a quarterback's going to be better than your ninth best flex guy.
Almost every time. Like you'd have to just be completely loaded, I think.
Yeah. Like if it was normal starting rosters and a super flex, like just a couple flex and super flex, then yeah, you know, it might not happen all the time. But when you're starting eight regular flexes or whatever, so we're starting 10 guys. So one quarterback, one super flex, at least one wide receiver, one tight end, one running back. What would your guys' preferences be for the other five spots to like either make them all general flexes or would you make like min two running backs, two receivers?
I would do all flex.
I would do min two running backs, min two wide receivers, and then flexes.
I'm torn.
You got the grit.
I kind of like forcing a little bit of balance, but I also think there might be more edge for the sharps if you just do min one and you could like really just load up on receivers and then like...
I mean, guys like Marlon Mack and stuff in that format are just like basically useless. Like they'd go in right. Like the ninth round.
So I feel like two then is better. Right.
So two, like if you go to one, you do the same argument as quarterback where it's like only one third of the pool matters. And then everyone else, it's just who gets lucky with touchdowns that week.
Yeah. So, I mean, you still would start a bunch of flex, but yeah. So I think you do min two, then running back receivers. I like forcing like a little bit of balance. So then like three general flexes and one super flex is what. So one quarterback, two running back. two wide receiver, one tight end. And if you didn't hear us mention kicker and defense, that was very intentional. There are no kickers and defenses.
Yeah, I don't. So I don't like that when you join these startups on FFPC, best ball or not, you still have to draft kickers and defenses in Dynasty, which is like, first of all, I love being able to play on a software where I don't have to be the commissioner and no one I know has to be the commissioner. Like, the rules are set in place. Someone else handles the money. Someone else handles everything. Like, so I'm not complaining about the FFPC. I think it's great. I like playing there. But big bummer on the kickers and the defenses.
All right. So I think we've got it then. So you could start anywhere between 1 and 5 tight ends, 2 and 6 wide receivers, 2 and 6 running backs, 1 to 2 quarterbacks. We didn't really make a final determination on if we wanted to limit quarterback scoring in any way.
I kind of like that the quarterback, like, I don't know, like, it's 20% of your roster. Like, who cares if the quarterbacks score a lot? Like, that's their job, you know?
All right. So we'll do regular quarterback scoring. We won't do 6 points per passing touchdown.
Wait.
No, yeah, 4 points is fine.
Do we want to make this, like, actually fun and do bonuses?
Oh, I just assumed that was a lock.
I don't think the leagues that Leonie and I are in together, I'm quite certain there are no bonuses.
There are no bonuses. I've never been a big bonus guy, but hey, if we want to, I mean,
I know it's,
it sounds like I'm being outvoted, so, like, that's fine.
Yeah, it's super arbitrary, but it's the best.
It's the best sweat every game. It's the best sweat.
Okay, let me. I'm trying to, like, set this up at the same time. So, and I got an error, which means I screwed something up. Of course. So you guys can talk through the bonuses while I.
So the argument against bonuses are that, like, what's the difference between getting 99 rushing yards and 101 rushing yards? Absolutely nothing. So why should you get an extra bonus point? I think, what if there was, like, integer related bonuses? Like, you get over 100 yards and you get one bonus point for that, but you get over 120 yards, you get 1.5 bonus points for that. You get over 150, you get 3 bonus points for that. Like, it would work on, like a progressive scale. I know NFL is really customizable. I don't know if it's that customizable.
No, but it definitely is. You definitely can do that. Like, if you set it, you just have to set it so that you get those points. Like, you have to just be careful where it's not like, oh, 3-point bonus for 100 and then another 3-point bonus for, like, 200.
Yeah.
You know, like, you'd have to, like, score it that way. But I'm game for whatever. I just like, again, like, you asked, like, what's the difference between 99 yards and 100? The difference is that at 100, you get 3 points. You know what I mean? Like, my brain is just, like, so broken from DraftKings that it's, like, I'm just hardwired to believe that that is true.
So what about long plays? So are we doing, like, all the bonuses?
I also love that. So, like, I love bonuses for touchdowns over 50 yards, bonuses for touchdowns over 75 yards. Huge fan. Because that sort of stuff will actually, like, the 99 to 100 yards, that doesn't change your draft strategy at all. But the bonus scoring will change your draft strategy a little bit. Like, there's a little bit of, like, tie-breaking sort of stuff that you will think. And it will make you more interested in wide receivers as opposed to running backs, too.
So you have the option on MFL for receptions of 20 plus yards and 40 plus yards. Where do you draw the line? You just want it all in there or what?
Why wouldn't 20.
It? Yeah, I mean, I'm not nearly as passionate about distance scoring as I am about general arbitrary bonuses, but I'm not, like, I wouldn't fight you on it. You know, like,
okay.
I think 20 is a little weak, though. I mean, what's 20 yards? You know, like, yeah. Oh, you score from just outside the red zone.
Let's go. If you score from the other team's side of the field, so 50 or more.
So it looks like I can do 40 or more in, like, their default setting. So we're just going to do 40 because it's easier. And then we'll do 50 on passing plays.
Love it.
And then 40 on rushing. Okay. So we can do bonuses and stuff like that. That's cool.
4 more reasons to draft Sammy Watkins. There we go.
Oh, man.
Sammy Watkins isn't even going to be a Kansas City Chief by the time that this league takes place, unfortunately. He'll probably be a Houston Roughneck.
So full PPR is a given, right?
Yeah, with tight end absolutely. Premium.
With tight end premium, 1.5 for tight ends.
What if we make receptions for quarterbacks worth like 6 points?
No, well, that's actually stupid.
Where do you guys stand on half PPR for running backs and full for receivers and 1.5 for tight ends?
Hate it because it ruins how I think about running backs.
I only ask because I just think it makes like more players viable.
That was the Scott Fishbowl rule, right?
Wasn't it? Their value in flex, and we're starting a lot of flex. Well, unless you did just like half PPR for everyone and then a full for tight ends instead of 1 and 1.5.
So that's like 2x for the tight ends instead of just 0.5, you know? Like
yeah.
I'm up for either, honestly. I'm up for either. I'm think? Up for full PPR.
I hate 0.5 for running backs.
I kind of want to do 0.5 to tilt Davis now, but...
I mean, Leone, you draft very similar to me. Like, who are you drafting? Who's benefiting from this? You're not drafting.
I can change the way I think. I'm a flexible man.
The reason you love best ball is that it allows you to do all this mad scientist stuff, and then you just can
repeat
the sheets.
You're the one who wants to do bonuses, extra bonuses for QB catches.
Yeah, just because that's fun. Like that's
honestly,
that's just a good wrinkle.
Who I don't even know what I'm thinking. I'm suggesting something that's going to reduce scoring. That's obviously very lame. So I apologize.
That's weak.
Okay, let me see.
Oh, Leone's hooked, so it's definitely going to happen.
Oh man, you get a lot of options on my fantasy league. So yeah, here's
so
one
thing you can do
instead of straight bonus, you could do like one like a passing's 1 point every 25 yards. You could do it 1 point every 20 yards once you get past a certain threshold. Maybe you guys said that and I missed it.
Love it. After 300 yards, more bonuses, more.
Yeah, so instead of like a straight bonus, it's like, so same thing. So like receiving yards, you could say like instead of 1 point every 10 yards, once you get past 100, it's 1 point every 8 yards.
I like that better. I think that's better.
I think so too.
What if we do both?
I like you guys vote, but I don't like both.
This is why I like the idea of just awarding points for more things and awarding more points for more benchmarks. Is like, who doesn't love logging into MFL and seeing like 360 versus 340? Like, that's the best. Which, by the way, I think that the winner of the league that we are in together, I believe that the winner of this league, Ricky and Pacheco, I think they scored 300 points in the championship game.
Well,
I'm pretty sure.
Sickies, though.
Probably a lot. The scoring's going to be even higher now. I'm trying to figure out I'm trying to figure out the bonus stuff. I'm not like totally comprehending these options on MFL. It's like too advanced for me.
I mean, it's,
I'm trying to figure out how I can do the combined. So are we going to do bonus at 100 yards and reduce the yardage length, or just reduce the yardage length? I guess you could just make the bonus earlier, right? Like you could do it at 50 yards.
The Scott Fishbowl, that's what they did, is the bonus came in at 50 yards and then it was ascending after that.
So we could say after 50 yards, would it be every 5 yards, or would that be too much?
Probably every 25 after that.
No. I mean, I'm talking like instead of a point for every 10 yards, it would be a point for every 5 yards after 50.
I would say eight.
Eight. Sure. We'll say 7. 7.5. We'll just split the difference.
7.5 is what I would have said. I didn't even know you could do that.
We're going to do whatever we want. I sounded really drunk there.
100%. I had flashbacks.
Whatever we want. Peter Overset's been having me do some shots on this stream.
Are we sorted on the bonuses?
I did figure out how to mix bonuses, though, which I'm a little giddy. We'll sort that out. There will be some combination of bonuses.
All right, what's the next thing that we have to tackle?
Okay, so we're gonna do crazy bonuses, QB scoring. I don't know if we already emphasized the slow draft and to make sure there's lots of trades in the rookie draft as well, whether you have that before or after the NFL draft.
Always a slow draft.
So I think that one, like, I think the startup works as a legit slow draft. I think the rookie draft works as J.J. Zacharyson runs a league. That's the one where you drafted Darren Waller, where it was kind of hybrid. We did the draft all in one night, but you had like 15 minutes to pick or something. So you could work out trades, but it wasn't painfully slow. I thought that was kind of cool. I don't know what you guys prefer.
I prefer the painfully slow, because then you painfully can just slow. You can just counter for hours and hours and hours until you finally get the best
I
deal.
I should have seen this. Davis.
I would have said whatever you talk,
Amico, because I don't trust myself right now.
Well, I would have just said, like, whatever we do for the startup, like, maybe just that clock, half of that clock for the rookie draft. So, like, if it's an 8-hour clock, you get 4 hours for the rookie draft.
Okay, we can do that.
I do agree it should be a little faster, but I think 15 minutes, like, that doesn't scratch my trading itch.
All right, 8 and 4, it's decided. So that works. How many years out? So this is one thing for people signing stuff out, and I kind of screwed this up in our Buffalo League, Davis, but just as far as logistics work, how many years out can you trade picks, and how does paying for future years work? Like, what's this? What's the norm for taking people's entry fees? Do you take three years for both?
No, you do.
Oh boy, I did that really wrong then. I just took like 1 year.
You think three is normal?
I think three is normal.
I would have said
Well,
two.
Maybe I, so like, maybe that's just what I do is I just, cause well, also a lot of startups I'm in, I try and win the first year. Like I try and draft pretty aggressively to win the first year.
You're trading so the 2022 picks.
No. So I can pay. And then I can, when the winnings come out, I can just say keep X, Y, and Z so that I'm paid up for 2 years.
Oh yeah. No, that's smart. I would have said, like, you pay for 2 years up front, and then, like, if you trade picks past that, you have to pay for, like, you have to have paid for any year where you've traded a draft pick, would have been my, you know, my general rule. So, like, if we're doing this, like, you pay for 2020 and 2021. If you trade a 2022 draft pick, that's fine, but then you got to pay for that year.
Okay. And then next year, you keep it so you're always paid for this year and the next year.
Right.
So next year, so everyone pays for 2020, 2021. Then next year, I would collect 2022.
And you can't trade picks for a year you haven't paid for.
Correct.
Okay. And then as far as how many years out can you trade picks? Like this year plus current year plus two? Is that?
Yeah. I think three is the max. This should be.
I think ours is set up as three, but I'd rather have it be two because I feel like to almost save people from themselves, I feel like.
No, you're totally right.
If it's current year plus three, especially in these, because you can do trading before the rookie draft, that means you could trade 2023
like,
picks.
Theoretically, you could trade Stephon Diggs for like a 2021 first and get away with it, and you'd feel really good about the results of those picks.
So we covered the entry fees. I think we decided 2 years up front, you're always paid for 2 years, and if you trade any other picks for a year, you have to be paid for that year. As far as picks allowed, current year's rookie draft plus 2 years. That makes sense. And I think that brings us to how you do free agency and how you do in-season management. So this is going to be a best ball scoring, so you're not setting lineup. My plan is
we should probably explain a little bit why best ball scoring is better, which is the first reason is it just means that you can draft more teams, right? The more best ball teams that you have, the more you can play DFS during the regular season and the less you can sweat out, you know, every individual transaction. You don't have to do fab as much. Like, I like to have a couple dynasty leagues with in-season management, but best ball is better.
So it's less burdensome for the reasons you just mentioned. But I also think, especially with starting deep rosters, it really means those randos that you're picking matter. And I know, like Amico said, that's part of the fun he has in this is, you know, your 28th player and how you're constructing that. It really matters. The strategy late matters quite a bit because people are going to get hurt. People are going to break out. People are going to bust. You're going to need a pretty useful roster top to bottom. And I think having, when you don't have to set a lineup and you set a lot of guys and it's best ball, your whole roster matters a lot more, not just the top half.
That is definitely true. There is more incentive in a best ball setting to not have, you know, total roster cloggers at the bottom, but like guys who actually play, or even like archetypes of guys. So an example of a guy that I owned in a fair amount of best ball dynasties last year, but don't own in any where you have to set the lineups, is Taylor Gabriel, because just of the style of player he is, he was always going to have a few games during the season where he'd end up being a starter. You'd never know which week to start him in weekly management, basically. Right.
The guys that are drawing just like stone dead for fantasy value, or, you know, like consistent dynasty value in lineup setting league, have like real tangible value now in best ball. So, you know, I think that that's perfect.
As far as free agency, I like no free agency during the season. I think that makes, and then put the free agents into the rookie draft the following year. I think it makes the rookie drafts a bit deeper and a bit more fun. I know Ben Gretsch does a league that I just took over a team in where he does a separate free agent draft and rookie draft. I like it combined. So I really like the way that works combined with no in-season management. And then, but I'll see what you guys think as far as in-season waivers. And I do like having at least a trading window though in season. So selling teams that got hit with injuries or just aren't performing well can sell off. Teams that want to buy can buy. So somewhere mid-season, we changed it this year in our league, Davis, from week 7 to 9 as a trading window. We expanded it to week 6 to 10. So those are two things. Like, what's the in-season trading like, and what's the in-season free agency like?
So I kind of like the idea of just having it be a week, so people have to decide. Like, they can't sit there and hem and haw. Like, you got to make decisions quicker. I feel like that benefits people like me that are always trying to drive the screw in. Also, for the teams that are not competing, if you only have 1 week, there's no, like, wait and see. You're just like, oh, Case Keenum, he's starting 4 games the rest of the way. Boom, I'll trade you for a fourth. I don't care. It's not going to benefit me in any way. Yeah. So I kind of think it incentivizes more trades to happen. And also, you have to keep the fab open for that long. So if I
don't.
Would rather just, well, yeah, I think you do. If people
Why?
Are, could to so that people don't get invalid rosters, right?
I mean,
you're saying like a 2-for-1, and then you
yeah, I'm saying like 2-for-1, and then you have either an invalid roster or not enough guys. So I think you just keep fab bidding open during that.
But we have 30 guys and we start 10 spots. You're not going to have invalid rosters. It's best ball scoring. They have invalid rosters, so be it. I mean, they just take the best lineup they possibly can.
I don't will NFL like let you do that? I don't know if they do.
You can have,
I guess they'll let you
guys.
Have less. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you I was gonna say you could always drop guys. I think that's always viable.
Well, you just take whoever the other person would drop.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And all the rosters would stay at 30. So I don't think you need in season fit. But I do like, you know, as you talk about that. It's kind of interesting because it's the opposite way we're going in our other league, but it does make sense because then it's less time people have to pay attention. It's 1 week. And also, one thing that happens in these leagues, someone's the first person who sells off, everyone gets pissed off, right? Because, oh, I didn't get a shot to buy those players. I didn't know you were selling off. If you make it 1 week and everyone knows, okay, the trades start the Tuesday after week 8 or week 9 or whatever week it is, you eliminate that from happening, right? Like, everyone knows it's going to go down that Tuesday. So I'm starting, I don't know. I think that makes, I like that. I never thought of it before. I like that idea.
I mean, Leone, you think that you like it now. You're really not going to like it when you realize that in practice, that means that I'm going to be able to hoodwink someone, or I'm going to be able to get like the way best of it in a trade. And you're going to tell me that you hate me and that you're quitting the league that you're in with me again.
Okay. Listen, I don't, the fact you getting the best of it,
here we go.
This is what you and Drew don't understand. A culmination of events. I keep using that term, but you are just the worst. You check all the bad trade etiquette boxes, and then when
incorrect.
You get the best
I
of it,
I respond to offers right away.
Okay, everyone but that one, and you check all those, and then when you get the best of it, everyone's ticked off because you've already ticked them off a little bit in a thousand other ways, and it's just the tipping point.
Yeah, but
I'm not worried about a one season window giving you some sort of magical trade edge.
This is ends justify the means as it pertains to trading in fantasy football, though.
It also, I think, shrinks the edge of the Brit Divines of the world. If you've ever done a dynasty where there's some people that are just, I guess, that are just like me right now in our offseason league that are bored or whatever and just constantly trying to trade. And those people are going to get more deals done. And as a result of getting more deals, they're going to swindle people more often just out of probability because they're constantly looking for trades. Or if you make it just 1 week, you know, that everyone knows it's happening that week. So I don't know. Amiko, what do you think?
I definitely like the idea of it being 1 week. I mean, to me, the whole point of best ball is for me to just not have to worry about it during the season at all. So, but if you told me like there's just 1 week, I don't even care what week it is, where it's like, this is the week you make a move and that's it. Like, I would pay attention and it would be insane. Like, it would just the most fun week.
One of the best ideas Davis has ever had is this 1 week training window. So that's confirmed in.
You're going to have minimum one person that's just like, dude, I didn't know. I missed it. I didn't get to make any moves. I would have traded. So like, you just got to be prepared as the commissioner to know that there's going to be one person who complains.
I always end up the commissioner because everyone's like, I want to do this, I want to do that. And no one actually starts the dang thing. And then I'm like, well, I guess I have to do it, which is exactly what's happening with this league we're doing right now. So I'm used to people complaining. So
I mean,
whatever.
I said I wanted to do it, but in the same breath, I said, I'm absolutely unwilling to commission anyway.
Yeah, I said that too, but here we are. Who would have thought? Look at us. Okay, what about the offseason fab? Because I think you need something between the rookie draft and the start of the season.
Once a week?
The guy says he plays best ball to not do anything, and he wants once a week fab over the entire summer?
In the offseason. That's, you know.
Ours is
30-man rosters. I'm going to blow my whole wad on Eric Saubert or whatever the heck I did last year. Like, some guy who's not even going to play.
Once a month, dude. Once a week.
Sure, whatever. That's fine. Just as long as there's one right before the season.
Yeah.
Because that's so, like, the most important window.
I think this one I got right. It was once a month, July, August, September, and then once the week before the season. So I think it's like four total. So like,
I like the idea of just fab during or just first come, first serve.
Oh, you're nuts. You're nuts.
I don't like that. Ben Gretsch.
I work from home and I do nothing but follow fantasy news, so it's very advantageous to me.
Yeah, but that's
yeah. I'm gonna
this
be like,
this is what we talk about when we say you're evil. This is what we mean.
Because you're gonna force me to like have my phone out at practice.
The quality
and, stuff,
so. And the goodness of the league in general. You just care about your own personal edge. So. No, we're not doing first. I do think, though, what about Gretsch does this and I end up really liking it, particularly because I missed the fab period. But you do the fab period and then the next day only is first come, first serve.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Inevitably will miss a fab window. So
no. So another huge part about that is if someone drops someone by accident or drops someone that you think that they shouldn't. During that first come, first serve, that person does not go back into the waiver pool. They're just dropped. Like, they're just done. So I'm not going to name names, but a very like a well-known fantasy analyst that I'm in a league with dropped Kerryon Johnson in a dynasty league last year. Like, because I just, for whatever reason, dropped Kerryon Johnson. And I get the email notification on my fantasy league and I run to go get there, right? Like, my little fingers are moving as fast as I can to go pick him up, and Jeff Collins beat me to it. Jeff Collins was also on his computer already there and beat me to Kerryon Johnson.
So that player gets to go into the next fab period though, right?
Player, if you're dropped in the first come first serve period, you are free game the second you're dropped.
I'm not doing that.
No, that's a sick sweat. That's like a good sweat.
Yeah, I mean, for someone who's sitting at their computer all day because their job is to look at the fantasy football news all day, it is probably sweet. You still lost it.
I lost.
I know.
Lost.
That's embarrassing for you.
it's a sweat though. Just always, it doesn't work, and it works better in a league with weekly management where people are going to be paying more attention just by the fact that it's weekly management.
Oh, and like in a 30-man roster, if someone's dropping someone really good, like
that person probably does not exist in this league.
Yeah. So they're going to go. They're on a waiver period. They don't get people that get dropped can go in the next fab period. That's it.
Fair enough.
So July 1st, August 1st, September 1st, and the Sunday before week one, fab runs. And then day after, first come, first serve for 24 hours.
Done.
Lock and players in. That are dropped are in the first come, first serve?
No.
Just trying to sneak it in like in the 2021 first. Just trying to sneak it in.
Lots of 21.
Give me the strength and the wisdom.
Oh. Leone, I can't help but notice that the league that you and I are in, no one quit. People threatened to quit. No one quit.
I didn't say anyone was actually going to quit. I can show you.
If Dink and I make another trade where we are just clear winners, will you just fold the league? Will you just go on the MFL and just delete it?
I mean, no, I wouldn't. But I do have, let me see. I'm about to rage quit the league. I won't lie, is an actual text message I received.
Honestly, people are more resilient than that. That turns into, I just want to beat them. And then they stay and they lose for the next 3 years.
I know you're not comprehending this, but there's like, this is not a one trade people got mad about issue.
Someone offered me Marquise Goodwin in a trade for Lamar Jackson, and I've had it out for the league since then.
Okay. Well, you joined a league with half super casuals, and the person who's just never played dynasty football in their life, and I'm sure it wasn't just Marquise Goodwin for Lamar Jackson.
It wasn't.
I'm sure it was horrible. Don't get me wrong, but.
The point is that you don't know these people. You berated
these people that have never played in a dynasty league in their lives. And then you went and
berating people just goes with the territory. If you're not berating people that you play in fantasy football, I'm not sure you're doing it right. Berating comes with the territory.
You're the guy who isn't the commissioner that has to keep everyone happy.
Fair enough.
These people that are just like, what the heck? I just want to have some fun, and this guy's making fun of me, and I don't know what I'm doing.
We got to talk about scoring settings in terms of the playoffs, right? In terms of who makes the playoffs? What are the payout? What's the right payout structure and all that?
So the thing I do in my league that everyone hates, so you're not going to do it in your league, is I like paying out the points getters from weeks 1 to 16, and I have nothing to do with the playoffs. Just reward the teams that scored the most points throughout the season. It's best ball. I think that rewards the best teams. And then just do a regular playoffs, and the prize pool gets split half and half. People seem to absolutely hate that, though. So I'm guessing that's not the way you want to go.
I like that. I like the idea of paying people, because I was going to say, like, you got to give something to like regular season points leader or something like that. And that's basically what this does, but also gives a little chunk to other people. Because I think, like, I don't know if you're thinking about
people
like, how
are
people
mad
are
that it's
play.
Not regular season. I like to go 1 to 16 because it's best ball and there's no like, I feel like if it's not part of the playoff system, it's arbitrary to cut it off at the end of the regular season. The regular season only exists to make a playoffs for the head to head. So the points have nothing to do with that.
It incentivizes people to play too, I think, because it's like, you know, if you can be the high, no, but I'm just saying like to not like give up on the current season. Cause if you could recoup your buyback by just having like a couple of big weeks and then all of a sudden.
Oh no, I was saying, okay. I misworded that. I was saying the aggregate weeks 1 to 16 point getter.
Oh, okay. That's what I was going to say. So that's fine. But I thought you were getting real crafty on me, and I was kind of
I don't like the weekly high points. I don't know. I don't like that one. But it's the good thing too. It's best ball, so like people can't really quit and like totally tank because they just have no choice what their roster does.
True, because we just have one.
Davis, how would you pay it out if you had it 100% your way? How would you pay it out and do the playoffs?
I would pay the top three spots, and I would go
top three what?
top three. Okay, so I mean, so actually, this is what I would do. I would do 50% of the total prize pool goes to the winner, 20% goes to second place, and then 15 to third place, and 15 to top total points, weeks 1 through 16.
Okay. Okay.
That does not 12 and a half, not 15.
Okay. 50, 20, 12 and a half, 12 and a half.
10. Right.
That would mess that up. That would only leave 5 remaining. If you did 50, 20, 12 and a half, 12.
Oh, so no, I was right then. 15. I don't know why I doubted myself. I'm so good at math.
Okay. So 50 to the winner, 20 to second, and then what?
Basically, what I want is half of the prize pool to top, half of that to second place. Buy back, you get your entry fee back if you win third place. So the consolation game, and then to the total points weeks 1 through 16 gets some sort of monetary value. The exact percentages don't matter that much to me, but that's how I would pay them out.
Okay, and how would you determine playoffs?
I think
as long as total points 1 to 16 gets something. I like splitting it up so multiple people. So it's like first through third total points and first through third regular playoffs. But like I said, people seem to hate it. So
we do it in one of my leagues. We do it where like the regular season points leader only gets paid out if he doesn't get paid out in the playoffs. So like if you win the regular season points, but you finish fourth, like you make money.
Like,
but if you,
I like
if you,
too.
If you win the points, but then you win the league, like you don't get any extra money.
So that, like a guaranteed minimum. What happens to the extra money if that happens?
You pay out like the next.
Oh, the percent, it goes into the pot and the percentages, or
you pay out the consolation. We did it where we only paid first and second, so it was we only paid third.
Okay,
right. So like that consolation game mattered if the points leader wasn't in the final.
So. And then I also I think the correct way to do playoffs is best record goes 1 through 5, and then the sixth seed goes to the team with the most fantasy points accrued that is not in 1 through 5.
See, I feel like if you're not doing more prizes for points, that like the playoffs should be split half points and half record, and kind of go like buy the best record, buy the next most points. 2 wild cards to next.
So that's how the FFPC main event works. That is how their playoffs are done, but only 4 teams of 12 advance in that. So I don't hate that either as an overall concept.
What about like those victory points that we did in the Kitchens League, where it's like you get a certain number of points based on where you finish in the week, and you get a certain number of points for your matchup. So like you're kind of getting like Leone, you're saying like do half and half.
Yeah.
Like, if you just do half and half as the standing. Maybe that works also. I don't have the victory points.
So I like victory points as well. That is, I think, a good introduction on the best way to set up Dynasty Fantasy Football Leagues. I don't know if it's the best way, but I think that it certainly is the... I think that'll get you on the correct path to starting a league if you have never done it before. If you listen to this podcast, if you watch this on Sports Grid and you liked it, go ahead and let us know. Forward it to your buddies if you want to go ahead and start a league with them. And we will be back tomorrow with more Daily Roto Hour content.